Our last case this morning is 2021-1254, the State of Ohio versus Ralph Bortry. For the appellant, Mr. Tyak.
Chief Justice O'Connor, may it please the court, counsel, good morning. My name is James Tyak. I represent the appellant, Ralph Bortry. The issue before you today is whether or not the 1993 attempted aggravated murder prosecution in 2019 was barred by the statute of limitations. The answer to that question is yes, it was barred, because it was an attempted aggravated murder. The statute of limitations was 6 years. Why is this true? Four reasons. The first is plain and unambiguous language of the statute of 2901.13. The second is the application of statutory construction principles, if necessary. The third is the purpose of statute of limitations as recognized by this court. And the fourth is constitutional considerations. As a result of these arguments, I would suggest that this court has a duty to vacate the judgment of Ralph Bortry's conviction because it was in violation of the statute of limitations. Sometimes the best answer is the most simple, and I'll start with the plain and unambiguous language argument for that reason. The state does not claim the statute was ambiguous, and the Third District did not hold that it was ambiguous. It clearly says that unless expressly stated otherwise, the statute of limitations for a felony is 6 years. An attempted aggravated murder, a felony of the first degree, punishable by up to 11 years in prison, is in fact a felony with a 6-year statute of limitations. The General Assembly included and extended with several amendments, I believe there are 10 at this point, of 2901.13, that there are specific statute of limitations like rape, like kidnapping, and the attempts of crimes like that, kidnapping and rape. They extended them to 20 years and then later to 25 years as it relates to rape. That has never been done as it relates to 2903.01 or 02, attempted aggravated murder or attempted murder. The General Assembly has never stated that these should have any other statute of limitations than the default for a felony of 6 years. The General Assembly, I think, has made clear to this court and all of us that by this unambiguous language, the text, in fact, is statute of limitations, 6 years. The statutory construction, both with the revised code 1.47 and the surplusage canon, says that every word and provision is to be given effect. None should be ignored, none should be given an interpretation that causes it to be duplicative or have no consequences. In this statute, the statute of limitations, there is a subsection specifically discussing attempts, as I said, specifically regarding kidnapping, rape, other types of assaults, and there's an example there in 2901.13A3b. Later, the addition of A4 makes more clear that the General Assembly does know how to include the attempt as a part of the statute of limitation determination in this statute. Again, they have never done so with regards to murder or aggravated murder or the attempt of the same. The statute itself actually starts with except. It tells the legislature and all of us that they can carve out exceptions to the general rule of 6 years. Again, it's never been done here as it relates to this. The subsections also include complicity and conspiracy, so it's not limited to just attempt. But again, the General Assembly made very clear that they know how to do this, and they have. They've never done this again with regards to attempted aggravated murder. The Third District, unfortunately, in our opinion, legislates from the bench when it includes the word involves. It adds to the plain text of the statute. It makes the attempt provisions and those of A3b and later A4 completely redundant, and I would suggest that this is improper by the Third District. The reality is that the state argues the Third District is correct and then leans on legislative history and general policy arguments. I would suggest that those fall short here as well. Because it's not ambiguous, for starters, I don't believe this court needs to go to the legislative history or the general policy concerns. But if it does, I would suggest that the legislative history makes clear that murder and aggravated murder are in fact different. They are the only crimes for which there is no statute of limitations for a reason. It requires an essential element of causing the death of another. And to be clear, this case has never involved that. There has never been suggested, indicted, or tried the death of another. Therefore, I think we can substantially understand the General Assembly's approach that murder and aggravated murder are different, and they do deserve an exception to the general rule on what felony statute of limitations are. No argument there, I don't believe. The second is the policy arguments. The General Assembly certainly can change and make more clear that they wish for an attempted aggravated murder, as the Third District suggests maybe that they should, be something more than 6 years, but they've not done that. And again, we know they can do that. They've included other ways that the state can have attempts and regarding murder and aggravated murder. There are tolling provisions, none apply in this case. There are other ways that can happen simply by correcting the plain language of the statute. Again, it's never occurred in this case. This court is well aware of the purpose of the statute of limitations. Climaco and other decisions since talk about it protects individuals from having to defend themselves against charges when the basic facts may have become obscured by the passage of time and to minimize the danger of official punishment because of acts in the distant past, and secondly, to discourage inefficient and dilatory law enforcement. In other words, to interpret 2901.13A2 to mean that the prosecutor can commence a prosecution for attempted aggravated murder with no time limitation whatsoever is in direct contravention to both of these purposes. As the court knows, there is a U.S. and Ohio constitutional basis, the right to fair trial, which is what the statute of limitations statute stems from, essentially stating that the time limit, a definite point beyond which there is an irrebuttable presumption that the defendant's right to a fair trial would be prejudiced. The state in this case would have you believe that this in some ways is an indictment and charges for both the aggravated murder statute and the attempt. But again, it is not so. It is in fact that it is an attempt of an aggravated murder. It is the statute of an aggravated murder by way of an attempt. Again, we're missing an essential element for which there was no indictment, for which there was no trial. It's unreasonable to conclude that the General Assembly intended the statute of limitations for certain conduct to be dictated by the offense the state chooses. In other words, and there's some discussion in our briefing regarding this fact that there was other ways that this case could have been indicted. And even if this statute of limitations for attempted aggravated murder was supplemented, and I'm not suggesting it was, or amended, excuse me, like the rape and kidnapping statute, the longest other than a non-existent statute of limitations on murder and aggravated murder extends to 20 or 25 years. And both of those statute of limitations would have already been run by the time the indictment happened in 2019. When it comes to the language in some of the Third District opinion talking about it would be utterly illogical to have the attempt of the most serious crime in the code book for, you know, criminal code in Ohio to be that shorter than others. Certainly, again, we understand the policy discussion there, but that's not relevant to the decision, the legal decision only in this case, that is the statute of limitations for the attempted aggravated murder in Ralph Bortry's case is 6 years. To put language in a statute that is redundant and unnecessary is meaningless surplus, and would suggest it's not appropriate. If there are no other questions, or if there are no questions at this point in time, I would, and I apologize, Chief Justice, I meant to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, and I'd like to do that at this time.
Well, you'll reserve 6 minutes and 45 seconds.
Thank you.
Okay.
Chief Justice, may it please the court, Eric Stewart from Logan County Prosecutor's Office representing the state. In 1993, the defendant in this case, Ralph Bortry, stalked, kidnapped at gunpoint, sexually assaulted, and then slit the throat of a 19-year-old girl. He left her for dead, pushed her and shoved her into some woods, got in his car, and took off. The only reason that she's alive today is because he barely, by millimeters, missed hitting her carotid artery. It was not by any action of his. The identity of the perpetrator went undiscovered until May of 2019, when Logan County Sheriff's Office reached out to advanced DNA a genetic genealogy company, using new techniques. They submitted the case file to them and the DNA, and within 24 hours, Advanced DNA said, here's an investigative lead you need to look at. There are three brothers living in Logan County. Take a look at them.
But how do we get around the wording of the statute? How to reverse the decision of the Court of Appeals?
So Mr. Bortree was prosecuted for attempted aggravated murder, which involved a violation of both 2903.01 and 2923.02. I mean, so the question is, was he prosecuted for a violation of 2903.01? Yes, he was.
Is that the ag murder, or is that the attempt?
Ag murder. When the statute was amended in 1999, the legislator changed the language from no limitation for murder or aggravated murder to a prosecution of a violation of those code sections. I think that is a huge distinction.
Counsel, they also amended Section 4 of that statute and added the words attempted to rape. Why didn't they just add aggravated murder?
Well, I can't, that's a good question. I can't second guess them, but I think because they specifically opened it up by saying a prosecution of a violation of those code sections, they did open it up to attempt, conspiracy, complicity.
But we're charged, if they do it in one section and they don't do it in another, we have to assume they did it for a reason.
And I think the reason is that because this is the most serious crime on the books in Ohio, aggravated murder and murder, that they had opened it up to include the entire section.
Attempted aggravated murder or murder could cover a variety of factual scenarios. Someone could shoot a gun at someone and miss them. Do you think they intended an act like that should have no statute of limitations?
I think because the jury in this case had to consider, did he intend her to die? The state had to prove that. And the jury had to consider that, and the jury said, yes, he did intend her to die. I think that covers that section, and I think it would be fact-intensive. Obviously, could it be a felonious assault, as you described? Someone fires a gun and misses.
With the intent to kill, making it an attempted murder.
With an intent to kill. So that is a fact decision for the jury to decide.
Well, but how do you prosecute for a murder, an ag murder, which requires the death of the victim?
So the jury had to consider, was she going to die? And the doctor in this case does.
The statute says no person shall purposely or with prior calculation design cause the death of another.
Yes. But at the same time, this is a prosecution of that section. I mean, you can't consider the attempt without the principal offense. This wasn't a prosecution of an attempt. This was a prosecution of attempt and aggravated murder. So to say this was only an attempt goes in the face of everything that was done in the case. The grand jury considered, did he violate 2903.01 with an attempt? Yes. Did the jury consider that? It was in the indictment. The jury had to find that he intended to kill her. So there was clearly a prosecution of that section. Revised Code Section 1.47. The presumptions in enacting of statutes, the entire statute is intended to be effective, and a just and reasonable result is intended. Both the trial court and the Third District found that to read the law as the defense suggests, that attempted aggravated murder is only 6 years, would lead to an absurd result, not a reasonable one. If you consider attempted burglary, if you were to see someone trying to break into your neighbor's house, breaking through their window. They cut their finger, leave a drop of blood on the window, and 19 years later, the state can come after them for an F5 attempted burglary. But for attempted aggravated murder, only 6 years? I think that flies in the face of reason.
Is it possible that the legislature just didn't contemplate a horrific situation like in this case?
I don't think so. I think that's why they changed it.
I mean, most DNA cases, fortunately, now that we have this technology, involve completed crimes.
Yes. I'm sorry, was the question?
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think this was just an oversight by the legislature?
I don't think it was an oversight at all. I think for them to actually miss attempted aggravated murder just doesn't make logical sense.
So in looking at section of the general provisions of the revised code, section 1.47 that you cited, I know you cited subsection C, that a just and reasonable result is intended, but there's also a presumption that a result feasible of execution is intended. Your colleague said that the third district was legislating from the bench by adding words like that this would encompass, I think it was. Is your application of C and what you're saying regarding 2903.01, is that feasible of execution? And if so, how?
Okay, so I believe the third district used the word, this case involved a prosecution of a violation of 2901.3. I think the third district could have left the word involved out. I don't think they were adding or subtracting from the statute. They were just saying, yes, this was a prosecution for that code section. The defense wants to say, well, we're adding to it, and I don't believe we are. I think it's quite feasible to interpret it in this way.
So an attempt then in this scenario would involve all the elements of the aggravated murder except for the one that it resulted in the death of the person.
Yes, except the state still has to prove beyond reasonable doubt what was the defendant's intent. Did he intend to kill her? And was there sufficient evidence that that would have happened? Such in this case, the doctor said he came within a millimeter of nicking her carotid artery. She would have died and bled out where she was.
But doesn't that happen in criminal law all the time, doctrine of fortuity, where you aim to kill somebody and you shoot, and sometimes they die, and sometimes you miss by a millimeter and they live? And for the first one, you can be executed, but the second one, you can't. So isn't that really not a real argument here?
I think it is when you're considering the statutory instruction that we have to arrive at a reasonable and just result.
Well, should the if the legislature clearly wanted the statute of limitations for attempted aggravated murder and attempted murder to be unlimited, or for there not to be one, couldn't they just say that? Can they just do that?
Sure, absolutely, they could have said that. But at the same time, the state, the trial, the third district, we all feel like they said it. They didn't say convicted of murder or aggravated murder. They said prosecuted for a violation of these code sections, which is what happened here.
What else could that mean? Section 2, there is no period of limitation for the prosecution of a violation of sections 2903.01 to 2903.02 of the revised code. What else could that mean?
So you could have a complicity or a conspiracy to commit those violations?
Well, if it doesn't apply, I mean, give this unlimited, the attempt on this of 2903.01 or 02, I don't understand, how this doesn't say what you're saying it says. That I'm just, playing devil's advocate here. What would it mean if it doesn't mean what you say it means?
Well, I think to apply the strictest interpretation would be to say that 2903.01, period, end of story. However, this, as the legislature wrote in 2901.04, offenses and penalties are strictly construed against the state, but those that interpret criminal procedure shall be construed to affect the fair, impartial, speedy, and sure administration of justice. Clearly, the statute of limitation is not an offense, nor is it a penalty. It's procedure. And so again, we go back to what is fair, what is the sure administration of justice, what is reasonable, and what does not lead to an absurd result. As in the case cited by defense counsel, State versus DeAnda, Justice Harsha wrote that when construing statutes, courts should read them as a whole and avoid reaching absurd results. And I submit to you that to say attempted aggravated murder statute of limitations is only 6 years when attempted burglary is 20 years is absurd. So the standard the court is to consider. We don't add or subtract language. The state is not asking you to do that. The interpretation must be just and have a reasonable result. It must be fair and impartial.
Except the third district added the word involves, right?
They used the word involves. They could have just as easily not used that word or used the word comprises. Different words they could have used, or they could have left it out. I don't think that their decision hung on that word.
But nobody died.
Correct, nobody did die.
And so they kind of had to use the word involve, or it wouldn't have been right.
So I've cited in my brief to the definition of the word A. It seems kind of strange that we'd have to get to the word A. Prosecution of a violation of. Black's Dictionary, Merriam's Dictionary, all define the word A as being singular or plural. Can be interpreted either way depending on the context of it. Any violation of that section. And so when you consider what's reasonable and just, what does not lead to an absurd result, you can interpret A as meaning any violation of revised code 2903.01. The defense mentions the purposes of the statute of limitations, and I think I've cited in my brief the statute of limitations is to promote peace of mind and reduce uncertainty. How much value do we want to give someone who kidnaps, rapes, and slits the throat of a 19-year-old girl?
Counsel, you didn't prosecute the rape charge in this case.
That's correct.
That's because the language is clear. It was beyond the statute of limitations. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Can we can't take into consideration the injustice of allowing someone who committed such a terrible act, which would be an injustice, but we're bound by the law as written. Isn't that correct?
Well, I think the law says in statutory interpretation you do apply what is just. This is not an offense or penalty. This is procedure. So what is just in this case? Under the new Marcy's Law, victims have a right to the vigorous protection of their rights just as much as the defendant. And in this case, the victim suffered a horrible injustice. So we're just asking.
How does Marcy's Law, though, implicate the interpretation of the statute of limitation statutes?
Because the interpretation statute says we have to apply a just result, what is just and reasonable. And the victim deserves justice just as much as the defendant does.
But if you were a textualist or an originalist, you would say that didn't apply because it wasn't in effect at the time that the offense occurred, correct?
What wasn't in effect at the time?
Marcy's Law.
Well, Marcy's Law was in effect at the time he was prosecuted.
But not when the offense occurred.
Not when the offense occurred, that is correct. We're just asking to give effect to legislative intent. This was a prosecution for 2903.01, and we ask that the proposition of law by the defense be rejected and the conviction affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. Counsel?
Thank you. I'll start by just reminding your honors in the court that the facts and some of the discussion by my colleague are, in fact, policy arguments that can be addressed directly with the General Assembly. It doesn't change the plain reading of the statute here. It doesn't change the fact that the General Assembly has shown us through the years that they do know how to include an attempt or a conspiracy or a complicity.
Counsel, let me ask you, what does that portion of the statute mean that I asked your friend?
Regarding the murder statute, Your Honor?
Let me get back to the exact words. There's no period of limitations for the prosecution of a violation of Section 2903.01 or 2903.02 of the revised code.
Thank you, Judge. Your Honor, what I would suggest is that means the prosecution means a conviction. It means an indictment. It means an actual meeting by the state of their essential elements of the crime. And as I stated before, and as I'll restate now, this is not a conviction for aggravated murder and attempt. It's a conviction for attempted aggravated murder. We are still missing that essential element. So the prosecution of aggravated murder must require the death of another, and it doesn't. What I believe my colleague is trying to do, and I think the third district did by adding the word involves, is to expand what is actually required in a prosecution for aggravated murder by suggesting that not all the essential elements are required. This is clearly contrary to Ohio law and this court's precedent. But what happens by expanding that, whether it's a or involves, this legislation from the bench is allowing essentially a case like this one, regardless of the facts, that allows the prosecutor to simply decide when and where they choose to charge somebody, regardless of what the statute of limitations is, because they're suggesting these facts, if they want them to fit, will be an attempted aggravated murder. And I would suggest that the third district, by legislating from the bench, has in some ways authorized or weaponized this argument to prosecutors and the state to do just that. Justice Donnelly, you had a discussion with my colleague regarding, does this open the door? And I would suggest it does. I would suggest the state then has a lot of leeway to just choose whether it's a felonious assault or not by inferring at the stage of an indictment that somebody intended to kill someone. Justice Fisher, you suggest that, again, there is this fortuitous maxim that we deal with in many criminal cases. Precisely. The reality is that the underlying constitutional ideas here is that there is a rebuttable presumption that there is prejudice. And there's a reason for that. It's because over all of our case law and all of our history, we know that minds fade, witnesses die, cars disappear. All of this is relevant to the underlying constitutional and fair trial purposes of our argument or our reasoning in our argument. But none of that changes what I would suggest is still the most simple and I believe more than enough for this court of the plain reading of the statute. The General Assembly knows how to add the word attempt. They have never done it as it relates to the 2903.01 and 02 aggravated, whether you call it by code section or whether you call it attempted aggravated murder or aggravated or murder is irrelevant, I think, to this court's analysis of the statute of limitations revised code section. While there is really no directly on point case law regarding this issue on the statute of limitations for an attempted aggravated murder or an attempted murder that we can find, there are some examples that we've provided to the court. The Tolliver case is one where defense counsel was actually found ineffective by the court. It's an 8th District case, I believe, where it was basically an indictment that included murder because there was the death of another and conspiracy for the murder. The defendant was acquitted of the murder and convicted of the conspiracy. And the Court of Appeals in that case actually has some nice language in there that is consistent with our argument that attempted aggravated murder is a 6-year statute of limitations and actually finds that the defense counsel was ineffective by not moving to dismiss the conspiracy portion of attempted aggravated murder. And we've provided that to your honors. I think another way to look at this, and maybe this is oversimplifying things a bit, but if we're going to consider a prosecution something that it encompasses the aggravated murder statute, 2901 or 2903, excuse me, 0.01, then in many ways, Mr. Bortry would have been entitled to a Rule 29 because they wouldn't have met the essential element of cause the death of another. And so it cannot be the same. It's not attempted aggravated murder and attempt. It's attempted aggravated murder. Your Honors, if there are no further questions, I would...
What's your response to your colleague's argument about Section 1.47? Are we bound by that? Is this court bound by that?
In terms of whether...
You said he was really arguing policy, but he was arguing the interpretive statute.
Yeah, in other words, that it would be fair.
Just, unreasonable, yeah.
As a defense counsel, Your Honor, you'll appreciate it. I would suggest that the focus on that should be as it relates to defendants. While this isn't a rule of lenity case, I think it's a consistent reasoning like that. But in this case, this really becomes, and I think as Justice Bruner pointed out, an unfeasible, again, I would say, weaponized mechanism for prosecutors to use if it just, we gloss over the essential elements of what a prosecution for aggravated murder is. And so I would suggest that the statutory interpretation leading to surplusage is, we know what the General Assembly intended, we know that it was 6 years. My colleague may not like the result in this case, but the language is clear, and I would suggest the court needs to go no further than that. As a result of that and all of these arguments, Your Honors, I would respectfully ask you to reverse the holding of the Third District Court of Appeal, make clear to them that they may not legislate from the bench, and to vacate Mr. Bortry's conviction. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. We'll take the matter under advisement. You'll be notified of our decision. Marshal, would you please adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.